This is The Agenda from News Radio 560, KPQ, and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern are open for discussion.
Okay, I'm going to flip a coin here with Linda Haglund with the Wenatchee Downtown Association. Should we talk about the Possibilities Tour first?
No, let's talk about my heroes, first.
Heroes Manor. Okay, yeah. So joining us in studio, along with Linda Haglund, we have George Turner. His card says, just a grunt. He is with Vets Serving Vets. That's probably the most original business card I've ever seen, George.
It's the truth. I'm a grunt.
There you go.
And what I have to say is there's no just in front of that grunt. He is a grunt.
There you go.
It's a good one.
So it was a week ago Monday. You and George and several others from Vets Serving Vets were out front making a real plea for jumping on board this Downtown Hero banner program. Mm-hmm. And boy, I knocked it out of the park. What can you give us as an update?
Well, what I can tell you first is, like many have said today is Patriots Day. Today we honor and we will never forget the events of 9/11 and those who have lost their lives that day and because of the effects of that have lost their lives since. So I just want to acknowledge as my heart in a community that we will never forget. I didn't get to go to Kashmir to see the ceremony this year, but if you get a chance, buzz up there. They've just added additions to that that sculpture feature up there. It's pretty moving. So I just want to acknowledge that this is Patriots Day, and we will never forget. Okay, so it was last Friday, and the Don West Show is a popular show that Cherry Creek Radio and KPQ does when they wanted to jump on board, when Don wanted to jump on board, because there is this couple of his sponsors, which is Precision Water Jet and Plum Perfect, that wanted to kick in and help us get over the top on these banners. If you recall, this started last year. We were able to honor 21 heroes. And then George and Vets Serving Vets, the bunker, came in my door. And life changed for me with this project then. To have this connection, it's very personal for me anyway, but more than one time, George can contest that I break down in talking about my heroes and this project and what it means to this community and the stories that I get to read and get to hear. But when we walked into this event on Friday, we had 30 new banners sold. Right now, there are now...
Let me stop you right there. That is amazing.
I know.
That is amazing.
I know. And then, right now, after that Friday, we have 60 new banners sold.
Wow.
So, with the 21 from last year, because remember, they hang 2 years, we have 81 banners. I have a lot of people still inquiring and a lot of people saying, can we still do this? I have people in waiting 10. We have to assure right now that I can hang all that we've done, right? We're getting them made, but I just want to make sure I have the brackets and locations secured that I can hang them all before we take any more. My goal eventually is every year to have 100 banners. So somebody said, are you worried about this and everything? And I said, not now or ever will I apologize for this situation. It's not a problem. It's just a situation. We'll figure out how to get these hung. What statement are we going to give about this community that we honor our heroes to have all of these banners hanging the month of November?
Now, if you weren't aware, what is the Downtown Hero banner? It features a photograph of a veteran,
and they could either currently be serving, they could have served, they could be alive or no longer with us, but it just is a chance to honor a hero in your life that you were connected to and tell a story. So what happens is the banner basically is an 8-foot banner. It's a good size banner. And after the 2 years that it hangs, it goes back to the family. So this banner states the hero, the picture of the hero, their name, the branch in which they served and the years they served. And then along with this, the Wenatchee World produces of Honoring Our Heroes booklet that will come out in November that tells the stories. And that's really, really cool for me because I get to see every story and touch every story. It's pretty fun.
There were two when we did, and it seemed like longer ago than it was. It was just last Friday, mm-hmm. but two area businesses really stepped up to kind of help support this project.
Yes, they were Precision Water Jet and Plum Perfect, and we are very, very grateful for them. And I'd like to thank KPQ, Don West. We couldn't have done this without your guys' help. And Linda is the veteran's hero, just so you understand.
I said to somebody yesterday, I didn't get to serve my country in the military, but I can serve my heroes, right? I can serve this way by serving them. And I really believe that what our organization, we have a very active board that allows us to do these creative things, really allows my job to be special. And for people to understand, the Downtown Association receives no money from this, even though we're the charitable organization they're donating to. What any money collected over the production of the banner is all going to the Bunker Vets Serving Vets. Our organization does not retain a penny of it. And it's just, we're able to facilitate this program. You know, we talk about, I talked to George now because this grew a little bigger than we anticipated, sustainability. And I can't wait in the future where we have banners in the wings just waiting for the ones to come down to produce the next year's.
Well, here, here. And the banners, did I see them displayed in the Apple Blossom Parade this year? Did people march with them?
Another Hero banners, Fallen Heroes.
Okay, yeah.
And they have 300 of those, and yes. I know they all don't march in the band or in the parade. They don't have enough people. But that's just to remember fallen soldiers.
Well, I think our community does a great job. It's wonderful to see the parade route. Everyone along the route stands at attention and just really claps for that. This is kind of an opportunity to see our downtown streets filled with some of these banners. And so right now, kind of a little moratorium because you got to line up these. These probably take a special bracket for this.
They do take a special bracket, and I feel kind of sorry for the street crews of both cities going, really? Because honestly, I had hopes and dreams for this program to be in year two and to be at this level is pretty unprecedented and much beyond. You know, a gentleman engaged with us on Friday who doesn't live here was passing through because his daughter does. This has got to go national, Linda. This has got to go bigger. We got to go bigger. Again, it's sustainability. I can't do this for the nation, but I certainly can share how we got there and how they can get there too. I hope across the United States that in the month of November, you drive through communities and you see our heroes being honored. And the fact that we could have a little small part of our message here makes what I do incredibly rewarding.
Well, it starts with a pebble in a pond and then the ripples.
And this ripple big again, you know, Don West and the Don West Show, the guy's a little passionate about things. There's your understatement of the day. And I think when he gets on board, he's way on board. And for his sponsors to align this way, but for the community, the company that came by on Friday and purchased 8. And somebody that came by and purchased 4. We're going to give you the money and we'll hope you can honor a hero. See the value in this says a lot about the generosity of our community. We honor our heroes here. And if anybody had a doubt about that, come see us in November.
So the banners go up for 2 consecutive Novembers?
They do. And then the family receives the banner back.
That's so awesome.
I know. That's right. Terrific. And then they get to hang an 8-foot banner somewhere around their house.
If I could add, my dream is to see maybe down the road that we hang banners in Waterville. We may hang banners in Cashmere, in Leavenworth. That's down the road, but I think that would be fantastic. This is a community. It North Central Washington is what this is all about.
Yeah, that would be terrific. Just keep it going.
Yeah.
Well, thanks to Vets Serving Vets and the Downtown Wenatchee Association for spearheading this. We appreciate that.
Super good.
Way to go.
Thank you.
So a week from today, you have your Downtown Possibilities Tour, kind of the fall edition.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about that.
Well, we received money from the Port of Chelan County, who is an economic development-driven organization, and they see value in us keeping downtown lively and leased. And so they gave us some money to help promote 2 tours. There's a spring tour and a fall tour. Spring tour happens in May and the fall tour happens in September. It's next Wednesday. It begins at 3:00 and the meeting place is the Convention Center Fountain Plaza. And we're going to show you 8 spaces that are available for lease or have recently been renovated. There's be some upstairs spaces. This is a kick the tires tour. Nobody's going to say, oh, are you thinking about opening a business? What do you want to do? We really don't talk lease pricing. We give you a map that I brought you a sneak peek of. It gives you connections to people and how they get a hold of these spaces to lease. There will be some upstairs spaces shown. And just a little teaser, we're going to show you a space that is almost done being renovated upstairs. So it's really, really cool tour. And we will tour these 8 spaces at the end. We're going to end at the 108 Lounge. It's been really, really creatively renovated. That space looks totally different than it did a year and a half ago. And we're going to be able to have some small bites for you to try, some little food, try some of their food. If you want a beverage, that's on you. But the little bites will be on us, and we'll end the tour there, and you can see that space.
So who would get the most out of going on the tour? Who do you think is kind of your target here?
Well, we get a lot of curious people that like to see these spaces, but really someone who's thinking about moving or leasing a space in the downtown and wants to know what's available, or someone who knows somebody that is and can go in their behalf. That typically, we usually lease spaces from this tour, so it's really anybody. We see some people in the real estate industry on this tour. We see some people who are just interested. Remember, downtown is in an opportunity zone. So what are those connections? We'll have all of these conversations. They'll get this map, and the map not only gives you, you know, the route we're going to take, but a contact in case you want to come back at a later date and reach out to those people.
So it starts at 3 o'clock. No RSVP needed.
Just show up
at the Fountain Plaza.
Uh-huh. We'll hit the Exchange Building first. It's a great space. A lot of people have never been in that building. A lot of people don't even know where it is or what it is. So it's really fun to see a space in there. And then we'll head down the street, and we kind of make a loop. And we do it in order, and it's a super fun tour. So even if you're just on a Wednesday afternoon and go, you know, I'm just curious, come and join us. Come meet us downtown.
How much time should you set aside if you'd like to do the full tour?
We'll be done by 5. It's about 2 hours. Some people have to join us and break off and come and go. It's not structured, but we definitely take you through a tour. I had 60 people on the tour in the spring. Remember, we toured the old jail, and people were really curious about some of those spaces. So I'm hopeful for a big crowd. Whoever comes is good. We're just happy with that. This is one of those things that really promotes economic development in our community and sees these spaces in downtown that you wouldn't necessarily see. I will give you one other teaser. One of those spaces we will enter in from the alley. So it'll be super fun.
Okay.
I know, right? Are you curious now?
8 great spots. Exchange Building, Dineen, Midtown, the Crest, Fuller Quig, also the former Second Time's a Charm, Ciali Yoga and Lounge and Coffee, future upstairs space there, and finishing up at the 108 Lounge. So it sounds like fun, and maybe you'll spot your future home for your business.
We certainly hope so.
There you go.
So on behalf of, again, of our organization, I just want to say thank you to Cherry Creek Radio and KPQ. As a nonprofit, this kind of airtime is invaluable to us. So we just want to say thank you for being so community-minded, and thank you for allowing us to help Vets Serving Vets, the Bunker. What a great legacy that we will leave in this community, and I'm very proud of this work.
Well, thanks for letting us be a part of the project. George, your group down there is awesome. Everything you guys do, you're unsung heroes down there. I don't think you guys ever try to toot your own horn, and so we're glad to help up and step up and try and do that for you.
We're there to serve.
All righty. Well, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
Linda Haglund and George Turner from Vets Serving Vets. Linda Haglund with the Wenatchee Downtown Association. We're going to let you know how you can help out with the Red Cross and Dorian Hurricane Relief, but there is a shortage of blood donations as a result. We'll have that conversation next on The Agenda.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
Well, here out west, we were untouched, unscathed by the tragedy that hit the Bahamas and portions of the East Coast by Hurricane Dorian. And, of course, the Bahamas hit the hardest. But, you know, maybe that's not necessarily the case because there were a lot of blood draws that went rather unscheduled because Red Cross blood centers couldn't have those blood draws. So certainly there are ways to donate to the Red Cross efforts and also to make sure that we replenish blood donations. And so joining us right now, Jen Shaw, who's a local market manager. So we tend to, you know, out of sight, out of mind, was way over down in the Bahamas or along the East Coast. So please don't overlook the need right now. And so, Jen, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
We wanted to recount the various ways that you can find out about donating blood and giving to the Red Cross. And so maybe if you can share some information with how the American Red Cross right now is helping to support those impacted by Hurricane Dorian. Did we even have any volunteers from here in the Northwest heading down there? There had to have been, I would imagine.
We did. We did deploy a number of volunteers from the humanitarian side of the organization. Actually, the days before the actual hurricane hitting, they were being staged all over the South for support and setting up shelters. And at the point where we could get into the Bahamas, we definitely have people on the ground there now helping with supplies, water, food, and such. But, yeah, it's been a real tragedy, and the Red Cross is always there. And I think the one thing people don't really ever think about is the impact on the blood supply when a disaster like this occurs. And basically what happens is you have a lot of scheduled blood drives on the calendar that go unscheduled or they're canceled because people aren't leaving their homes and trying to stay safe. So we actually canceled over 100 Red Cross blood drives in Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia, which resulted in about a loss of 2,300 units of blood to the local hospitals down there. So the one thing that the Red Cross does on a daily basis is we kind of have an inventory. I kind of look at it as like the UPS hub, like where are things going and where can we send packages. It's kind of the same with inventory of blood supply across our system. Where do we have the most supply and who is lacking supply? Where can we ship that product to assure our hospital customers and, bottom line, our patients are getting the blood that they need for surgeries or any kind of life-threatening traumas or incidences. So it really is important, and the Pacific Northwest has a very giving community when it comes to blood donation, that the areas unaffected by these types of disasters really step up and come in and donate and help boost up that supply so that we're able to ship product where it's needed. And we always react this way because that's what the Red Cross does, but I think it's important, too, to kind of think back that the need is always constant, and so making sure that people are coming in to donate on a regular basis helps, and it helps us allow to have that product available in instances like this. Instead of going in reaction mode where we're going out to the public, begging them to come in now, you know, we want that blood supply to stay constant.
You never know when disaster will strike here, and we'll be counting on people in other parts of the country to step forward and donate as well. I understand if you're a type O or a B blood type, those are of a special need right now.
Yeah, we definitely are looking at our O, A, and B negative blood types are definitely a little bit short on inventory right now. O negative being the universal donor, so that's the unit that is pushed out in trauma patients where we don't have time to type a patient. So that is in a very fragile state at this point. But all blood is needed. You know, with platelet donors, we look at the AB positive donors as the universal donors. So we are looking for whole blood donors. We're looking for platelet donors to come in and support us and help us boost our supplies to help replenish what we've actually sent out of the area. So,
well, the Red Cross has made it very easy to donate blood, and there are a number of ways to do that. You can even make appointments. I just want to run down a list real quick of some of the locations within our listening area that are coming up real shortly. September 24th in Othello from 11 till 4 p.m. at the Pilgrim Lutheran Church. Another location will be here a little bit sooner, right here in Wenatchee on September the 20th from 11 to 4 at the King's Orchard Church of Christ in Mattawa in Grant County on September the 17th from noon till 5 at the Fire District 8 station. Clay Ullum has, I've already missed that blood drawing, but on September 23rd in Ellensburg from 1:30 to 6 at the First Lutheran Church, and also in OMAC on September 18th, a week from today, from noon till 5 at the OMAC Elks Lodge. So you make it easy. There are a variety of ways. You can even enable your blood donor skill on any Alexa listening device. But you could also go to get the you've got the Red Cross Blood Donor app that you can download for free. And there's always the website. What's the website and the toll-free number?
You can call 1-800-RED-CROSS to schedule an appointment. Our website is also at www.redcrossblood.org. And I would, the app is pretty amazing. If you sign up on the app, you can schedule your appointments online. The neat thing about the app that donors love is it tracks where your blood goes, and it will send you a notification, say, hey, you donated in Wenatchee on 9/25, and your blood was shipped to Boise, Idaho, to St. Francis Medical Center. And so you can kind of see where your blood goes. And I know that brings a lot of, it's a big impact to the donors, just knowing that their blood was shipped and utilized and saved a life. So
brings it full circle.
To be connected. Mm-hmm.
I would assume that the app also knows where you're at and then can notify you, hey, there's a blood drawing coming up at the King's Orchard Church of Christ on XYZ date, that sort of thing?
Yeah, you can put in your zip code, and it will give you a list of drives within a certain radius of your hometown, and you can just click on that one and just get yourself scheduled for a time.
Okay, so we've covered giving blood or platelets. So what about giving financial donations? Often at the time of a disaster, a big, huge disaster on the scale of Dorian, we'll see the texting option that you can give kind of a real quick, like $10 donation and the like. What can we do right now to help support some of the financial need so you can get those instant supplies out to where it's needed for disaster relief?
Yeah, so absolutely. The app is the easiest way. That text your $10 donation in is probably the easiest way. You can stop by any Red Cross office and drop off a check, and they'll provide you with a receipt. There's ways to donate online that are secure. So there's lots of different ways that you can support the Red Cross. And I know people sometimes think, oh, I want to drop off a box of clothes or this food. But the logistics to get everything down there and in a organized way is not the best way. What we're doing with that money is then we take that money and we are able to purchase food from mass suppliers that support us and water. And so then that way we can purchase it in large quantities and get it shipped to where it needs to be. It's just the logistics of taking a box of clothes from, 1,000 different people and getting it there is more difficult. So the best thing you can do is to donate financially to help in these cases.
We're talking with Jen Shaw. She's the local market manager, which handles logistics and getting all the information out and everything that goes with that territory here for our region of the American Red Cross. And when you want to make a donation to Red Cross, do you need to designate, in this case for Dorian, hurricane relief in whatever way you're doing that, if you're writing a check or doing something online or digitally?
Yes, I would definitely put in either the memo on your check or whoever you're speaking to at the Red Cross that you'd like to go this to go towards Dorian, and that is where your donation would go. You can also say if you want it to go locally, because the Red Cross does a lot locally in your community with fire prevention, installing smoke alarms, and responding to home fires and such too, where we will temporarily put up families who have been affected.
Jen, how do you get involved as a Red Cross volunteer, saying, I'd like to get to training, I'd like to maybe be one of those volunteers that after, you know, the appropriate, background, or if I've got the right kind of training, or have the time on my hands to be able to be sent off to go provide assistance, far away in the case that disaster strikes. How do you get to be one of those volunteers?
Yeah, so if you're interested, there's different ways to volunteer here at the Red Cross. If you're interested in being deployed to a disaster such as this, we have specific training courses that you have to go through. And basically what we do is we enroll you as a volunteer, and then we have, like, introduction to disaster planning and services that you would be required to attend. And then we look at what skills each person has. For example, if you were a nurse or a social worker, you know, we would definitely focus in on those skills that you have and train you up to be supportive in that manner. So your local Red Cross can help you with getting you in touch with our volunteer coordinators and our disaster managers, who can get you signed up for those courses. If you're interested in working at a blood drive to give cookies and juice or check in our donors, that's another opportunity as well at the Red Cross.
What is it, back to giving blood and blood platelets, how old do you have to be? Are there any specific rules and guidelines about that right now? Is there an age restriction, anything like that?
17 here in Washington, 16 with parental consent in Oregon, and general good health, 110 pounds, something in your belly the day you donate, and lots of water. There is no upper age limit as long as you're healthy and none of the medications that you're taking prevent you from giving.
Yeah, I was just looking at some information. You have a thing called the Rapid Pass. I suppose people that really like to donate blood regularly to the Red Cross can take advantage of that program?
Yes, that is an easy way. The Rapid Pass is where you'll receive an email the morning of your donation, and it has to be done the day of your donation, where you can go ahead and answer all the questions that we require of you once you come in, which can take about 10 or 15 minutes on site. So that will shave about 15 minutes off your donation time. Then you come in, you just you can use your smartphone, you can print it off on your home computer. There's after you're done answering the questions, there's a scan. You bring that in, and we scan that in, and it populates all of your information, so it does save some time. If you're short for time, it can really cut off about 15 minutes, but in all, I would say an average donation takes anywhere from 40 minutes to an hour.
Okay, it's kind of like an express lane.
Exactly.
Express lane at the supermarket.
The other thing I wanted to mention, Dave, for your listeners out there and any businesses, we're constantly looking for new sponsors in the communities that we serve. So if you have a business or an organization, a church, that would want to help out the Red Cross with blood donation, holding your own blood drive, that information, too, you can get online, how to be a sponsor for us. So we're always looking for those opportunities as well.
Okay. Well, Jen, anything else you wanted to add? We're about ready to wrap it up with you. I'll be back after our break to run down those locations that are coming up around the communities that we reach with our signal, and I'll recap all of the information. But any final thoughts from you as we try and not only stimulate some donations for the American Red Cross and some financial relief or blood donations as well. Any final thoughts?
Well, I would just say that the Red Cross does a lot of work in our communities and across the world. So any support that we can get from our local community to help our friends and family members across the system is really important. And it really, with blood donation, it's an hour of your time and really has a substantial impact on somebody's life and their family. So if you're thinking you want to help out but you don't have the $10 right now to donate towards the hurricane, how about an hour of your time to come in and save a life? It's as easy as that.
Well, thanks for the information and everything the American Red Cross is doing, helping those folks impacted by Hurricane Dorian. Jen, thanks for your time. We appreciate it today.
I appreciate it, too. Thanks, Dave.
Jen Shaw, local market manager with us with the American Red Cross. I'll come back and get you some of those dates around the region where you can donate blood, and we'll again recap some of those ways to donate financially as well. 12:48 now on the agenda.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560, KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
Well, we're at 12:52 of the KPQ Agenda program, and again, with Hurricane Dorian, there were many, many blood draws that were canceled for the American Red Cross because of the weather situation, and so there are blood draws across the country where they're trying to recoup some of the blood donations and collections, trying to get that blood supply replenished. Here in Wenatchee, September 20th, 11 to 4, at the King's Orchard Church of Christ. Also in Manawa, September 17th, noon to 5, at the Fire District Aid Station. In Ellensburg, on September 23rd, 1:30 to 6 p.m., there is going to be a blood draw for the Red Cross. And also, one we can update you on for the Othello area, September 24th, 11 to 4, at the Pilgrim Lutheran Church. Again, lots of different ways to donate to the Red Cross. You can give blood and platelet donations or financial donations. For more information on that, you can go to redcross.org. I'm sorry, redcrossblood.org, or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. You can even enable the blood donor skill on any Alexa Echo device and follow the instructions from there by listening to Alexa, or get the Red Cross Blood Donor app as well. So a lot of different ways to help out with hurricane relief.